And experience art at the Northfield Arts Guild. Visit our galleries, arts festival, and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's gift shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org or call 507-645-8877.
Art Zany, radio for the imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, radio for the imagination.
Good morning, this is Paula Granquist, and you're tuned in to Art Zany, radio for the imagination. Thanks so much for tuning in to the show that celebrates all things creating and loves to share stories. Let's get together and tune our imaginations. I'm so happy to be back in the studio for Art Zany Radio. It's just great to be back here and looking out the window, seeing the sunshine, looking at the last days of summer. We are moving into my favorite season. That is the season of studio and festivals. I just love studio tours and all the things that happen around the festivals. And I think it's where, I don't know, it's the greatest time for me to be able to take a breath. Some of those events are outdoors. Arts seem to take center stage for me. I just adore this time. So I hope you're as excited as I am about all the possibilities. For me, I love being able to enter that world where other people have created something, to get a peek into either their, you know, maybe a studio tour, a physical space, or the creative space, or the creative products, and seeing what each artist has done or what they are performing for us. It's sort of a way to see into an artist's mind and imagination and see what those things, their mind, their imagination, their hands, their body has transformed. And when they take a blank nothing and turn it into a glorious something, and we get to share that experience together, it's such a generous gift to be able to share that as an audience member and the artist and a visitor and a performer. It's just such a wonderful thing. And when I'm touring, I always think about the ways that those objects or that sound or those stories carry the pieces of our humanity and create some connections for us between the artist, the viewer, the past. We're discovering a pathway that we can connect with a piece. And I think that art can do that for us. It can help us to feel our shared humanity. So it's an open invitation to explore the world and find your way to what it is that you desire to create. So to begin today, I'm going to talk a little bit about one of the events that's happening. That is the Bridge Chamber Music Festival. That is happening. It opens on August 22nd with music from Brazil. That is at St. John's Lutheran Church at 7:30. Some phenomenal musicians. I highly encourage you to go visit their website, which is bridgechambermusicfestival.org, I believe. Of course, it's at the end of my pages here, and I can't find it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play this tune for you. These are one of the guests that are coming on the 24th. This is from the two members of the Silk Road Ensemble. That is Mike Block on cello and Sandeep Das on the tabla. And for the concert, they're going to be joined by Gao Hong, who is a pipa player here at Carleton. But this is just Sandeep Das and Mike Block. This is a piece called Fight or Flight. And there's some wonderful surprises in it. So I hope you'll enjoy this. This is a sampling of what's coming up for the Bridge Chamber Music Festival. I highly encourage you to visit that website because there's some great artist previews and information about the stories behind each of these artists. There's some phenomenal musicians coming. It's one of my favorite parts of summer. So take a listen. Sandeep Das and Mike Block, Fight or Flight. Again, wasn't that amazing? That was such a cool piece. I was really a lot of great surprises in there. And again, that was Mike Block on cello and Sandeep Das on tabla. That is from the album Where the Soul Never Dies. And you can check out more at mikeblockmusic.com and sandeepdas.com and just really explore all kinds of wonderful sounds. That's what I love about the Bridge Chamber Music Festival. It's constantly surprising. And the website, bridgechambermusicfestival.com. So those folks are performing on the 24th, which is Wednesday. Before that, I also want to mention that Mike Block is going to lead an improvisation workshop on cello. And so check out that, because I think you need to let them know that you're going to come. That's on Wednesday afternoon. Then on the 26th, Nikki Chewy, and I hope I'm saying that correctly, and the 10th Wave Chamber Music Collective will perform on Friday night at 7:30 at the First United Church of Christ. And it concludes on Sunday, August 28th at 3 p.m. at Keepsake Cidery with the String Quartets by Women Composers. And that's going to be a pretty incredible thing. I'm really excited for all that they're doing and all that is coming to our community. So I hope you'll support them and the Bridge Chamber Music Festival. Also want to invite you this morning, if you're thinking about what you might want to do, there is, in fact, a dedication of a new sculpture in Northfield. And I want to make sure that you know that. So if you're getting ready, you can think about heading out at 11 a.m. at Highway 3 and 3rd Street. The city officials from the Northfield and the Northfield Arts and Culture Commission are hosting a public dedication ceremony for the newly installed sculpture. And that is, again, right across from the Quarterback Club. And that's at 11 a.m. And John Sterner, who is the Marshall-based artist, will be there. And he has created a sculpture that is just a really amazing piece. If you haven't seen it, it is going to give a prominent place in our community to a significant Native American cultural touchstone. Sterner is drawing on his Lakota and Dakota heritage, and he created a 15-foot tall steel sculpture of an eagle in flight, and it is entitled Wanblee Metakue Oyasin. I hope I've said that correctly. I'm going to listen carefully when it gets spoken this morning, and it is also known as Eagle Relatives. And the sculpture at the base includes a plaque containing the city's land acknowledgement statement, which was adopted in 2020. And that statement is that we stand on the homelands of the Wapakakuta Band of the Dakota Nation. We honor with gratitude the people who have stewarded the land throughout the generations and their ongoing contributions to this region. We acknowledge the ongoing injustices that we have committed against the Dakota Nation, and we wish to interpret this legacy beginning with acts of healing and honest storytelling about this place. Art is such a powerful addition to our community, and I hope that you'll join all of us there. The sculpture was funded by the 1% for the Arts program, where 1% of construction costs of a city capital improvement project is dedicated to public art, and it's also with additional funding from the Southeastern Minnesota Arts Council. CMAC activities are made possible by the voters of Minnesota through grants from the Minnesota State Arts Board, thanks to a legislative appropriation from the Arts and Cultural Heritage Foundations. So that's going to be a really beautiful event. John Sterner is a fascinating artist. He does a lot of amazing things. You can check out his website, John Sterner, Sterner. And I didn't write down the website. I got to remember to do that. But it's easy to find. You should be able to do that. And folks, we are going to be talking hopefully in a few minutes about the fabulous Cannon River Clay Tour. And so I want to go ahead and start the introduction to that so that you are familiar with all things happening. That one is happening this weekend, so you'll want to put that on your calendar. And the Clay Tour, this is the 6th annual Clay Tour, and it is the Northfield, Minnesota Area Ceramic Artists. Again, it's Saturday, August 20th and Sunday, August 21st. From 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and you can get lots of details on that at CannonRiverClayTour.com. They also have a Facebook and an Instagram page if you want to go there. And there are 4 host sites to this. The whole event is hosted by 10 local clay artists and features guest artists from around the country. It's a self-guided studio tour and sale and includes a broad range of professional ceramic work. You can go there and meet the artists, see where they work, and enjoy the beautiful community of Northfield. The host potters are Holmquist Pottery, and that website is holmquistpottery.com. And they are a team of potters who make the most delightful, just full of joy, pieces celebrating all things with whimsy and great imagination. And I think each little piece tells an incredible story. And that is located out on 90th Street East. Best thing to do is to visit CannonRiverClayTour.com. They've got a map right there. If you go to any one of the locations, you'll see one of the brochures and be able to pick up that. There's 4 stops. Very easy to do. Again, Chris and Sue Holmquist are hosting one of those spots. Canole, I hope I'm saying that, Kelly, I always goof up your name. Canole Studio is hosting another site, and that is right here in town. And Kelly is an amazing artist who I love what she says here, cups, crows, and curiosities. And so she has a beautiful garden too, I tell you. She makes, I just adore what she does. And it's really a beautiful space to see beautiful potters. Each of the artists hosts about 4 or 5 different artists of different styles and techniques and ways of doing clay. The other location is Eureka Pots. That is out in Farmington, and that is our fabulous friends Donovan Palmquist and Colleen Riley, their place where they have an amazing setting for all the, and you can see how nature inspires each of their work. Colleen does ceramics for the kitchen, home, and garden. And Donovan does wood and soda-fired ceramics, and they have a host of guests there as well. And again, it's just a beautiful property. I just love being able to spend the day out wandering around and just driving through the beautiful glory of this time of year. And the final studio on that stop is Larch Hill Farm. And that is where Glynis Lessing has her studio. That's out on Highway 3. And she does functional porcelain and individually decorated with slip. And it's just, it's such a beautiful piece of glory to you know, to look at all the critters that embody hers. You'll notice, you'll recognize her style right away. So hopefully she'll be in a few minutes and we'll be able to talk to her about that. I wanted to mention too that the 2022 Tour de Ceramique is now happening again this year. This is sponsored by Farmstead Bike Shop here in Northfield. Their website is farmsteadbikeshop.com. They have a location right downtown here, a couple doors down from the radio station. And that is a way to experience a clay tour in a whole new way. Sunday, August 21st. And the tour is by bike. I guess this must be the second year that they're doing it. They suggest if you're interested in that to meet at Bridge Square in Northfield at 9 a.m. on Sunday. They're going to ride out to the first location, and then they said it's a 12 mile per hour pace. So it says there's no drop, and e-bikes are welcome if you pace down. It's mostly road, but there's a bit of gravel if you end up riding all locations. One spot I saw said it was about 30 miles. Another one said 40. So somewhere in that range. And of course, you don't have to go to all four studios, but what a wonderful way to experience the tour. And here's the bonus piece. Any ceramics you buy while on the ride can be delivered safely by car to either of our shops for pickup at a later date. So you can join everybody for any or all of the ride. And that's, I think, an amazing way to see the tour. And again, farmsteadbikeshop.com has details about that. You can go ahead and explore that and learn a little bit more. I think I might try to put on another tune here and see if we can find another piece by... let's grab Mike and his cello pieces. He had a whole lot of amazing things. So we'll see if we can't find that. And again, it was Mike Block and his music. So we'll go ahead and pull that up and see if we can find a tune that might be another way for us to make this transition. He has a whole lot of things. And we'll grab that, and here we go. Let's grab this one. This is, let's get another one from the two of them. This is called Where the Soul Never Dies, from both the folks that we listen to for. This is Raghupati Raghava Rajaram is the title, Where the Soul Never Dies, Sandeep Das and Mike Block. So let's listen to just a few minutes of that and see how that... There we go.
Bye.
I want to thank our beautiful players. That's from the album Where the Soul Never Dies. That was, you should take look at the video too, because there's two dancers that perform for that. And it is just really glorious to see the comparisons of the styles of dance. And they do a really good job with their videos. So I encourage you to visit MikeBlockMusic.com for more of his work. And he, again, he'll be here for the Bridge Chamber Music Festival, BridgeChamberMusicFestival.com. That's coming up. And now we turn to the wonderful Clay Tour and the Cannon River Clay Tour. And Glynis Lessing is here with us.
Hello.
Oh, hello. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, my gosh. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, I do adore this tour and always find it so refreshing to get out, you know, travel to the different tour stops, and also to, you know, just see all the work that you've been doing.
Yeah. And see where people work.
Right. And see the spaces that, that some of the artists, because like I mentioned, I went through the studio, so we got to the four locations of where those are happening. And tell me a little bit about what will be happening at your stop at Larch Hill.
I'm pretty excited to be hosting four other potters. They're all women, now that I think of it. Barbara Zavaruha.
Yeah, there you go.
Taught me how to fire. She's a local potter. She's a co-host. And Monica Rudquist will be returning, and Dolores Fortuna will be returning. And then we have a new guest from Kansas City, Margaret Kincaid. She works in earthenware, you know, like flower pot clay. I mean, that makes it sound, it's just to reference the color and the level of firing. But she's very inspired by quilts and things like that. So
yeah, I noticed on her piece that there was the patterning is very, you know, it's just amazing, right? The intricacy maybe of it.
Yeah, her work's beautifully made. It's very light and it's hand-built, but it's very, you know, even and regular and lightweight. I have a piece of hers, and that's why I invited her. I've never met her, so I'm pretty excited to meet her. And Dolores, this will be her third year on the tour. She is very popular around here because she was on the St. Croix tour for many years. And she also has really light, high-fire porcelain. I am in envy of her. She formulated her own recipe for the porcelain she uses, and I have a salad bowl of hers that weighs nothing, which is great. Because if you fill it with food, you want it to still be, you know, not a wrist breaker.
Right, exactly.
And then Monica works also in porcelain, and she does functional work, but she also has these incredible wall installations. She's a professor at St. Kate's, and so her work is just stunning. It's mostly in black or in white.
And she's using porcelain, you said.
She is, yeah.
Yeah, it is really beautiful. And I want people to pick up the brochures. And so those are all around town, or you can just go to one of the stops and get that. Or you can actually go to the website, the CannonRiverClayTour.com, and take a look at the images.
And I've had a couple requests on our email of how do we get the map. And you can go to our website, click on map. That'll give you an interactive map. But there's also, it says if you want a downloadable map, click here. And then you can get a PDF that you can download and print out. We'll all have extra brochures at our stops for those people who, you just need to get to one stop and then we can give you a brochure.
Right,
with a map.
There'll be signs. Tell us what the signs will look like directing people to all the studios.
They have our logo of the jug with the Cannon River going through it. And
what color are they?
Gray and brown, I think.
Okay.
It's because now we have some banners up, and those are in a brighter color. We have one by the where they sell corn. And there's one on my place. So you'll see those big banners just telling you that it's happening this weekend. And but yeah, gray and brown and black. And those are smaller, but they will direct you because we have a traffic problem. Castle Rock is closed to through traffic. And
oh,
so
86 is, that's
yeah,
right.
So people who are going from Eureka Potts to my place, they'll have to turn on 23 and then just come back up Highway 3 a little bit, just a just a scooch.
So it's the other side of the rectangle that they'll do.
Yeah, exactly. So they won't be able to take 86 all the way to Highway 3. They'll have to turn and then come up 320th and then turn left and turn left again to get to my place. So
perfect.
Be careful out there, folks, with those left turns.
But it'll be worth it. Absolutely. So tell us, for your work, what's been going on in your studio and what the kind of things will be?
Gosh, I feel like this year plants have inspired me more than ever. I've just been looking at the weeds in our place, you know, these odd little... there's this one, I posted it on Instagram today. It's got this, I don't know if it's called poor man's peppercorn, but it's these little, it's sort of like that money plant, but it's a weed. And my mom said, oh yeah, my dad used to have us pull those because it made the cow's milk taste bad.
Oh.
Isn't that interesting?
But they liked, so they ate them. They liked them.
They would eat them but as a child, she and her brothers were sent out to pull those out of the pasture, you know, because... my place was my grandfather's, and he had 40 milk cows that he milked twice a day, 365 days a year.
Mm.
So,
yeah, I love that story. One of our first times getting together, we talked about how meaningful it was for you to be in that space that was your great... how far back?
Just my grandfather.
Grandfather, no, yeah.
It's funny, because I was, when I first moved here, which was 10 years ago now, I can't believe it, I was saying how their life inspired me, and it continues to, if not more in a deep way. Mm-hmm. They're still all around me. My grandfather planted so many trees, and those trees are very inspirational to me. You know, we have a ginkgo on the place, and I draw these ginkgo patterns on some of my work. And of course, I do the birds, and I have to say we have feral cats, and they kill birds, and very unhappy about it. There's nothing I can do about it. I can't catch them to bell them. And so what I do is I memorialize the birds. So, you know, if I find that they've taken out a blue jay, then suddenly there's blue jays on my pots. So it's just sort of to karmically slightly make up for the loss of that blue jay.
Oh, I didn't know that was how some of those critters showed up on your works. And that's one thing people will absolutely notice about your work. I think what I mentioned to you was that in browsing through the website and then the brochure is how many distinct styles of work there are, expressions that come through the same material. You're all starting with some form of clay and some form of... you know, glaze or ink or something to decorate it. But I find it really fascinating how each artist has developed there's just a distinctness.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and it's so exciting to me. For example, over at Chris Holmquist's stop at Holmquist Pottery, Chris Ansu, they're having Steve Hemingway is going to be there, and he's a raku artist, which is you are putting the clay into a kiln, heating it up in about... an hour or two, and then pulling it out while it's glowing red hot and plunging it into things like sawdust, burnable materials to carbonize so that the carbon gets trapped into the cracks in the clay and underneath the clay. And his work is stunning. And we have George Lowe, who's new out there, and he is on the St. Croix tour. I love his work. And his is wood-fired, very, very brown, mottled, you know, clearly of the earth. And Christy Clark, who's a new on the tour, she's local.
Oh, I didn't realize that was her first time on the tour. She's been an artist in the community and been showing in a lot of different places. So this is exciting.
She's such a sweetheart. And she's got these hand-built things that they don't look like they're fired electrically, but I believe they are. And, you know, these interesting colors and really interesting shapes, you know. So hers is hand-built. George's are thrown. Chris and Sue have thrown work, and then Chris is doing his own line, which is, the picture here is hand-built. I think it's a combination, but that new line is really interesting. Completely, you can see the reference to his work that he does in collaboration with Sue, but you can see it's got its own voice too.
Right. There's a difference in the combined work. It has so much whimsy and, you know, storytelling, and the other piece that's pictured there, which, you know, we don't know what the rest of the collection might look like, has a lot of sophistication.
Definitely worth seeing what he's got there this year.
So how does an artist develop that expression that, you know, is it something you work towards, or does it come through you through the clay?
Well, that's a really good question. For me, I was inspired originally. I was at Lille Street in Chicago, and what's great about Lille Street is it's a clay center like the Northern Clay Center. Actually predates the Northern Clay Center. I always have to say that.
It was your home for clay, right?
Yeah, you have the opportunity to work with all three basic clays. The three basic clays are terracotta, which I call the flower pot clay, stoneware, which is the most common, and porcelain.
Mm-hmm.
And you could fire electrically or in a gas reduction kiln. And then there are workshops and things. There will be opportunities to wood fire and things like that. And in my long history as a potter, I've tried all those things, and they're all exciting. But you get to see all these different styles, all these different teachers' works, and people who come through workshops and in the gallery. So one day I walked into the gallery, and there were some pots that they had just brought in from Matt Metz. And I said, I want to do that.
Ah.
You know, I started, and I knew how to do it, but I had never seen it done in that way, where it just covered the whole surface of the pot. And I was like, just madly in love with it. So I started doing it.
So that spoke to you, and you thought,
yeah,
that's how I want to speak, yeah, to the world, is through something that looks,
yeah,
like this.
And I really clung to that, because when I moved here, I didn't have a kiln. I had an electric kiln that I was unable to plug in because of the power requirements. But I said, I'm going to keep doing this work. And so I first started firing Colleen. I met Colleen through Facebook, and she said, oh, you should talk to Barbara. And Barbara's firing at the old Holling kiln. And because Lille Street had always fired my work, I didn't know how to fire. I was 52 years old. I'd been doing clay since I was 15. So I went with Barbara, and she taught me how to fire and explained about reduction firing. And then eventually she and I got a kiln together. And then from there, I was able to get a kiln. And the kiln that she and I got together and the kiln that I got are both made by Donovan Palmquist, who is out at Eureka Pots and he's a potter, and he builds amazing kilns.
Mm-hmm. So, very well known,
yeah,
for that.
Colleen and Donovan have been an incredible resource for our group. They're sort of, you know, I want to say padres. It's so funny thinking in Spanish, but they are sort of, you know, if somebody needs a cup of nefsai, which is ingredient, you know, does anyone have a cup of Custer feldspar, you know, or red iron, a teaspoon? I just need a teaspoon of red iron. So we're always, you know, our supplies, we all can put out an email to any one of us. There are 10 of us, and, you know, we all support each other. It's a very, very strong community. So.
And that's kind of how the Cannon River Clay Tour was born, right?
Yes.
And this is the sixth year of it.
It
I want to remind folks, it's this weekend, happening in and around Northfield. And the website, cannonriverclaytour.com. I always get that goofed up, but I'm sure you'd find it if you went in there. And it is Saturday and Sunday, 10 to 5.
That's right.
At all the locations.
Four stops, which is easy to do in a day. Do two, eat lunch in town, and do two more.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect afternoon.
To finish, just a quick answer to your question. For some people, something speaks to them and they absolutely have to do it. And other people have to make decisions that are practical. You know, you might have just a basement studio and an electric kiln. You may have to just fire electrically,
mm-hmm,
you know. And some people want to, you know. I mean, that's... So it just depends on what you want to do and what are the practicalities of the different clays.
Yeah, that is one of the things that I think has always amazed me, is all of the processes and all of the decision making that happened through all of that, and how at each turn, you know, you go down a different path because you chose to do X or Y, or like you said, the availability of, you know, kilns or materials or colors.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah, the kiln is the big one, you know. I mean, and there are people who can't even afford a wheel or a slab roller, and I don't have a slab roller,
mm-hmm,
you know. But it just depends on what you want to do and if you can afford it, or what calls to you. It just, there's a whole variety, because there's so many ways to do clay. It's,
yeah,
so exciting.
I think, and what I love too, then in those pictures, is the colors, the lines, the materials, all. are so, there's a range, and I think not everybody gives Clay credit for having that. I think at this year I looked at those and I had this sort of experience of, it's like a palette. I hadn't thought of it being that way, but it really
is. That's a great way to think of it.
And so for every person who's doing the tour and looking at these pieces, almost, you'll never find two pieces alike.
Right.
Every single one of them is an original artwork, but a lot of them have functionality, and so that puts it in a different zone. And so I want to make sure people know that these really are like works of art, but a lot of them are works of art that you can enjoy in everyday life.
Right, and sometimes in a variety of ways. I mean, if I make a big piece, I usually make it so that if you want, you could hang it on the wall,
mm-hmm.
you know. And such a variety of firing, just about everything is represented here, you know.
So how are the artists selected for...
Oh, that's what I was going to say. We try to have a good representation, you know, a variety, like you were saying. But we want people who are local, if we can, underrepresented, you know, people who aren't able to have their stuff everywhere, and then people who we respect and like. I mean, people whose work we really respect.
Yeah, we should mention, too, because it's not just the 10 local potters, but then there are
the
potters
guests.
Coming and the guests that are coming from across the country.
Yeah, as far away as, well, I'm not sure exactly.
Who's the farthest? I'm trying to think.
I think maybe Margaret from Kansas. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And looking around. Kate Scherfenberg and Sean Scott are a couple, and they are from up north, Battle Lake, Minnesota. A lot of times we've had couples on our tour, you know, partners that are both making clay, which is also pretty exciting. So out at Eureka Potts, Donovan's work, Colleen's work, which is always absolutely exquisite and impeccable. Kenyon Hansen is a first time this year, and he is soda firing, and he's got these incised lines. I just am so excited to see his work. Julianne Shibata, whose work is always just so beautiful and quiet, you know what I mean? And she works in high fire porcelain reduction like I do. And sometimes we fire together. Sometimes she'll come out and use my kiln.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kate's working in terracotta, and Sean, I think, works in terracotta and sometimes other type of clay as well. And James LaChance, who does wood fire quite a bit. He'll fire with Donovan a lot of times when they do wood fire.
And so there's a lot of a variety within each stop.
Yes,
exactly. And I thought it was interesting, a lot of the potters that I read, because each of the, you can go read a little bio about each of them on the website. So when I read through them, I thought what was kind of intriguing is a lot of them this year mentioned you know, the inspiration from fabric or quilts or cloth. And I thought that was a really interesting translation.
It's such a contrast, isn't it?
Yeah, because the materials don't work the same way.
One is going to last 10,000 years. Well, there is some cloth that's from Egypt and stuff, which is always miraculous, but it's also so flexible, you know, and I think that's maybe some of the attraction.
Yeah, and it's the patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also, I think, the stories. Several people mentioned the idea of the carrying on either traditions or, like you said, you know, being on your grandparents' farm, just the things that inspired them that you see and you know they saw, and that comes through in your work. And so there's something about that building of the pot that gets translated, and we get to carry a piece of that if we hold that pot too. It's a gift.
Yeah. I think it's also a challenge we give ourselves to take these ephemeral, soft things and immortalize them, if you'll let me use that word. Plants, animals,
mm-hmm.
you know. I see a lot of plant imagery along with the fabric inspiration. Stories. I mean, here's Steve's piece on the brochure is butterflies. You know, I can't think of anything more delicate. And so it's hard to pull off, you know. I don't do flowers very often because the petals simply don't look delicate enough. But other people manage to do that, you know. And Steve's butterflies are exquisite. So
how do you think that gets taught, of being able to, you know, translate that art
onto
that?
I think that's the talent part. I really do. I see people who are clumsy and can't quite pull it off. And And then other people who you're just in awe of. So,
And you mentioned to me that you'd been teaching some online classes.
I have.
I'm curious how it is that you can do that when you have such a tactile process.
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly not teaching anyone to throw, because that for me is something you just almost have to do in person. The surface decoration is quite easy, and so is hand building process. And this sprang out of COVID. Someone who is a friend of mine who had been on the tour, that's where I met him originally, he said, I'm starting a new business. I'm offering workshops online during COVID. And I was like, this is fantastic. And he came out the first time and did all the tech for me. And we ran it, and it was a big success. And I just did surface decoration on a platter. So I made the platter in front of everybody. And it was like the cooking show where you have, you know, six platters.
Do you have
all
overhead
in,
something?
Yeah. So his phone or my phone and an iPad and a computer, all, you know, this is the miracle of technology. And then people were very happy with that. And then Ceramic Arts Network contacted me unsolicited and offered me a workshop. And I said, absolutely. And then we had to do the tech because they were located up wherever they are, North Carolina. I'm not sure. And that was also, I had 120 people sign up, which was, that's another great thing about
the online workshop.
One
class.
Yeah. And so they can ask questions through the chat. You know, this was on Zoom. And then the people moderating can feed me the questions and I get to answer them. The hard part for me is I can't read the room. And that, as a teacher, that's something I've always been able to do. Like, oh, I better speed this up. They're getting bored. I have no clue, you know. Or do I need to repeat this? Or was that clear enough? And sometimes I'll say, is that clear? And then the feedback comes in. And that one we did oval jars. And that was for intermediate to advanced. I threw a jar, ovaled it on the spot. And then we moved the camera. My husband helped me. And we have to run a router out to the Milk House studio. But that was also really successful. And again, I was left with like 10 jars at the end because I'd made so many to be in process, you know.
That's what I was going to ask, because clay is not a, you know, 30-minute meal that you can cook
no.
on a TV show.
No.
It's a, you know, weeks-long process.
Right.
So you had to stop, begin a project, you know, do the, you know, pull up like the magic that they do on television. You know, here's the cake, it's baked.
Yes, exactly. The only thing I don't cover in my workshop certainly is glazing and firing. And because mine is all surface decoration, it's just a clear glaze. People are always like, is that black glaze? And it's like, no, that is a black clay, so that it doesn't slide down the pot. Glaze, the reason it's shiny, it's got glass in it, and it moves a little to, you know, to be smooth.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything gets clear glazed, and it's all food safe, of course. But that's, you know, you just give, and I gave out my recipe for glaze to people and my recipe for slip, and I'm always happy to share.
That is something I've noticed about the clay community, is there's a very great generosity.
Yeah.
And you have a lot of fans that follow a lot of different artists. Because one thing I know about the clay tour is if you see something on a Instagram or a website and you really want it, it might not be there when you get to it.
I hate when people are like, how do I get this? And I'm like, well, it's already gone, or you'd have to come to the tour, because I can't just yank it out and send it off to somebody, you know, because I feel like the best pieces would all be sent away before anyone ever really got a chance at them.
Mm-hmm.
So I do one online sale in November every year. And I've got to say, I put up last year 75 pieces, and probably 70 of them were gone within an hour.
Whoa.
Yeah. And then there's a lot of shipping, which is why I only do it once a year.
I can imagine. I've talked to a few artist friends who that part of the process is not the part that is most enjoyable.
Nobody likes that.
That's not creative.
No.
I
use 100% recycled materials, except for popcorn. If I run out of the styrofoam peanuts that people have given me, then I pop corn and put it in there.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I love that about the business. There's just so much that you have to, you know, think about in making things work.
Yeah.
And this is a great celebration of the clay community in Northfield.
Yes.
And we have another studio we want to talk about too, because there is, like I said, so many different, and I love too, because the artists are there and the artists are able to answer questions.
Yes.
To share, you know, if you want to get into pottery, how you might do that, or if you're already making pots and you have a, you know, technical thing, they can answer those too.
I currently have a young lady helping me once a week, and she comes out. So I met her. Mary Klossner does a helpful critique at the high school of the honors high school student, the art honors.
Mm-hmm.
She'll go through and critique in a way. She helps them, you know, she says, put your name on the front or frame this or those kinds of things. And,
right. And she has that great retail eye. And
yeah,
that great,
she's the best. And she's dragged me along several times now. And so I just make a beeline for those ceramic students because that's my strength. And I gave my card to a couple of them, and one of them contacted me, and I said, come out, see. And then I said, and she said she was having trouble finding places to fire over the summer. So I gave her some clay. She helped me reclaim, because, of course, clay is recyclable until you fire it. Then mm-hmm. it changes. It's like 600 pounds of clay. So I gave her a couple bags of clay and encouraged and gave her some. She already knew how to throw and stuff like that. But anyhow, that's the kind of thing I like to do is in our community is help young people get started and to learn more.
Right. Do we have one more? We got a time
we
for
do.
Just a
so
few.
Sorry.
No, that's no worries.
Went on about my apprentice. So at the canole stop, Joel Fraley, he's local, and he's got these very cool panels that are layered with glaze and paint, and you can do that. You know, you can paint on ceramics. And so they're like these wall panels. He also does really fantastic functional work. I love his stuff, and I have several pieces that I use all the time. Kristen Pavelka, who's been here before, she was at the Holmquist Pottery Stop before. She works in terracotta. Love her stuff. And Chotsani Elaine Dean is up in the city. She's a teacher, and I don't know a ton about her work. I'm really excited to go and see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, her story online about the reasons that she does clay is really a beautiful, you know, she's trying to tell us the history, right, and to reconnect with some of her ancestors. And
oh,
so,
cool.
Yeah, it's really amazing. You guys are all connected to so many great potters and stories, and the pieces that, you know, you bring home are, in fact, originals, and they are just, it will add something to your life that you never expected.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah, living with, the, and Kelly, of course, is a professor at Carleton. She won't be present at the stop, but her work will be there.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, she's does things that people, again, can recognize right away when
yes.
you see a Kelly piece. It's,
yeah.
It's, there's, she, so I, that tells me that the artist has found their way to find their voice, the one that was intended to, yeah. you know, go out in the world. And that's what's fun about this. So I'm really excited for this weekend's Cannon River Clay Tour. Again, we mentioned earlier the Tour de Ceramique. And so that
yes.
is on Sunday morning at
Bikes
9.
Bikes and pots.
Meet at the Bridge Square.
Okay, good
to know.
If you're
interested in doing that route, or you can stop by.
I would love to do it with them.
Yeah, I bet you would.
Yeah.
You're wearing your bike t-shirt.
Yeah. I biked here.
And they are, a Farmstead Bike Shop is who's hosting that. And so if you have any questions about that, I'm sure they'd be happy.
Just, I'll say again, if you're on that bike tour and you buy something at one of the stops, we will hold it for you until the end of the day. Or I will take all the pots that didn't get picked up and over to Farmstead Bike Shop on Tuesday. I think they're closed on Monday. So you can buy pots. We'll hold them for you, and we will deliver them.
Yeah, and I think even Farmstead said they would either hold them at this location or they have a location in Minneapolis.
Yes, so if you come down from the cities, then you can, or you might be able to get by to one of the to the stops before 5 p.m.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's
or 5:05. It's okay.
I think I've been at the tour and lingering for a few extra minutes because it was just so much fun.
Yeah.
Folks, I really appreciate Glynis you being here today.
Oh.
It's going to be a thrill this weekend.
It's always a pleasure to see you, Paula, and to talk about clay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who wouldn't love that?
Yeah, exactly. So, folks, this is Art Zany Radio for the Imagination. I thank you so much for listening to the show and helping us celebrate all things creating and stories. I hope that in the meantime, until next time, you find that time to enjoy your imagination.
You've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zany is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault. The Paradise Center for the Arts is a vibrant cultural and artistic gathering spot in historic downtown Faribault. The Paradise is committed to offering high-quality visual and performing art opportunities for Faribault and our region. Regular events spotlight some of the best artists and musicians in our area and throughout Minnesota and the Upper Midwest. Our beautifully restored facility includes art galleries, classrooms, clay and textile labs, a gift shop and rehearsal spaces, in addition to a 300-seat auditorium. Visit ParadiseCenterForTheArts.org for a full schedule of events or call our box office at 507-332-7372. 95.